Now in Romans chapter 1, we come to possibly the most meaningful verse as concerns witness and missionary endeavor to be found in the Word of God. Romans 1 and 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. That verse contains the gospel of Christ. And when you go into the gospel of Christ, you have the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scripture. You can dwell at length on the death of Christ for our sins. You can dwell at length on His burial. Then upon His resurrection and our resurrection. The study of the gospel of Christ is inexhaustible. Then we could devote hours to the gospel as the power of God. Then the power of God unto salvation. And again we open the door for hours of study just on salvation. To everyone that believeth. Again, hours of study upon how to be saved and what it means to be saved. But tonight, I commend to your thinking an order announced by God to the Jew first and also to the Greek. One of the first things I encountered as I became interested in sharing the gospel or seeing that the gospel got out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel was the fact that practically every pastor of every church into which I entered and every pastor which I met in no uncertain terms told me that God was through with the Jews, that they had their opportunity of salvation and they'd passed it by and there wasn't any second chance to them. Then came that large number of evangelical ministers and teachers of the Word who tried to show to me that Israel of the Old Testament was the church of the New Testament. That all the promises, the blessings, the Old Testament to the nation of Israel passed from Israel to the church. And when I asked them about all of the curses of the Old Testament pronounced upon the children of Israel, if they in turn passed it to the church, they said, no, they still are the Jews. They would take the blessing, but let Israel have the curse. I was driven, forced, not against my will, but by the Lord, to turn to the study of the Word in connection with the gospel first to the Jew and also to the Greek. And it's been a wonderful and a blessed experience. But I learned soon after I began to emphasize the fact that the gospel was to the Jew first and also to the Greek, I came to realize then and appreciate the fact that one who was interested in, concerned for the Jew was treated like a Jew. The Jews hated and despised by all people, the Jews spoken against. And we do well to see if we can ascertain why the enmity of all of the Gentiles to the Jews. One of the great difficulties in witnessing to Jews is that when a Jew becomes a Christian, he becomes a man without a home. His own people care not for him, and the majority of Christians will not accept him. There was that German scholar, Delitzsch, who said it's easier for a Jew to accept Christ as his Savior than it is for a Christian to accept a Jew. Now in Matthew 24, in verse 9, we learn why, that is, one of the reasons why, the Jews are hated. After this worldwide war, followed by famines, pestilences, earthquakes in divers places, we read in verse 9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all the nations, of all the Gentiles, for my name's sake. Whether you acknowledge it or not, whether you believe it or not, the Jew is hated because Jesus loves him. The Bible is hated because it's the Word of God. The Jew hated because he's the people of God. The church, true church, is hated because it's the church of God. Honorable Christians are hated because they are the people of God of the New Testament. But the Jew is hated because Jesus loves them. I've had people explain to me that all of the mean, despicable people of the world were Jews. And I've asked some to name me some, and they name off certain Jews. And invariably I have to call their attention to the fact that they have forgotten one despicable Jew. And they say, who? And I say, Judas. They're a little surprised that I would mention him, the betrayer of our Lord. He was of the tribe of Judah. He was the only apostle of the tribe of Judah, the same tribe as our Lord. Then, after they've named all of the mean Jews of which they could think, I said, well, name some good Jews. He said, well, I don't know any. I said, well, I'll give you one for a starter. They said, who? And I said, well, let's start with Jesus. I've had many people ask me, was Jesus a Jew? I said, no, he is a Jew. He's still a Jew. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, prince of the house of David. And he's coming back one day to rule and reign over the house of Jacob. When he was born, they announced him. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? In his death over the cross, it said, Jesus the Christ, King of the Jews. And one day he's coming back as King of the Jews. Now, another interesting thing about the verse of Scripture in Romans 1:16 is that part of that verse is used by practically everyone interested in personal witnessing, so-called, personal work. How oft do you hear this verse of Scripture, a partial verse? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, period. I said, why don't you quote the rest of the verse? They said, well, the rest of the verse doesn't apply today. Well, what makes you think the first part applies then if the second part doesn't apply? If the gospel of Christ is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, it is still to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But they won't hear of it. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 10. I want us to pick up the order, the ministry. That doesn't mean that the Gentile has preeminence, but it does mean, or that the Jew has preeminence, but it does mean that the Jew has priority. Matthew chapter 10 gives an account of the Lord choosing 12 apostles, setting them aside, and sending them out. And verse 5, after he had named the 12, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go preach, saying, the kingdom of the heavens is at hand, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely ye receive, freely give, so forth and so on. The commission to the 12 to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and the credentials that God provided them to establish the fact that they were from God and had the authority of God in their ministry and their preaching and their teaching were the signs, the healing, the raising of the dead, the speaking in foreign languages, casting out demons, drinking deadly poison without hurt, handling of snakes. Those were signs given to them. Those were credentials given to them to show that they were from God. As Nicodemus said to our Lord, we know that thou art from God, for no man can do the works that thou doest except God be with him. And here he sends forth the 12 with these credentials. Now, these are my credentials, and these are the credentials of anybody who preaches the word today. Other credentials are not needed. Other credentials are not acceptable. If anyone speak not according to this word, it's because the truth is not in them. If you want to know if I'm speaking the word of God, turn to the word of God and check on me. But don't look for signs of healing and so forth. Incidentally, I saw a most interesting news item the other day where possibly the greatest healer of modern times here in the United States with this great, wonderful, powerful school, this one who has decried the hospital and things, trying to build a $7 million hospital now. I thought that was interesting. I guess he's given up on the other. I have come in contact with several who went to him for healing, but were not healed. But enough of that. The healing, the signs, the wonders and miracles were credentials to those preaching the gospel of the kingdom with the rejection of the gospel of the kingdom and the king and his crucifixion. Then God Almighty turned to the Gentiles. Now we're living in the era in which the just live by faith and not by sight. And we walk by faith and not by sight. Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, not a Gentile. Now that was our Lord. Now, in chapter 15 of Matthew, we have the Lord in his experiences with the woman at Tyre and Sidon, as he was up there, in the 21st verse. Then Jesus went thence and departed from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. One would judge the Lord discourteous, not answering this lady in dire need of the ministry that he alone could offer. But she spoke to him as if she were a Jewess. O Lord, thou son of David. She was not of the house of Israel, and she could not address him as Lord of the house of David. And so he didn't answer her. Someone come up to me and say, Mr. President. I couldn't answer them because I'm not the president of anything. And she called him, thou son of David. He couldn't answer her. His disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away. She crieth after us. Master, she's just wearing us to death, trying to get word to you or something done. Get rid of her. But he answered and said to the woman, I'm not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And I came to die for the sins of the world. But here he just came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Now she addresses him in a way in which he can answer her. Not, thou son of David, but she just says, Lord, help me. He answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. The Jews in that day called Gentiles dogs. The word he used for dogs here is a regular term for dog, and could be a dog like a St. Bernard or Collie or Boxer or German Shepherd, some big dog. We don't take the children's bread and give it to the dog. She said, That's true, Lord. But the dogs, and she uses a different word for dogs here, she uses what the grammarians call the diminutive form, which we would translate the Chihuahua, the little house dog, the Pekingese or something. She said, Yeah, Lord, that's right, but these little house dogs eat the crumbs that fall off of the master's table. Now, I know the gospel is not to us, and I know you can't give it to us, but there are certain fringe benefits that we can get. Now, here was a Gentile woman that through faith from God Almighty manifestly could see down the corridors of time to a day when the Gentiles would be blessed. But she said, even now, this generation had been commanded, as Abraham had been commanded by God to be a blessing to the whole world, she knew that from them were coming certain blessings, and so she claims them. She said, that's right, but even the little house dogs eat the crumbs that accidentally fall from the table. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Woman, great is thy faith. You understand that the gospel is to the Jews and to the Jews alone. You understand that I've come only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But you still claim you still claim some blessing just as a human being from me as Lord of all. And great is thy faith. Be it unto you even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. The ministry of our Lord. And it continued that way throughout the entire earthly ministry of our Lord. It was not until we come to the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. In the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9, Saul of Tarsus, being converted, was given a commission. And this is 9 and 15. As God is speaking to Ananias and telling him that he's sending one to him, that he wants Ananias to baptize him, but Ananias says, "Oh, Lord, you've forgotten that man persecuting all Christians, and he's catching Christians and getting them and having them put into prison and later to death." But the Lord said unto him, "Now go thy way, Ananias, for he, Saul of Tarsus, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles." Now I've called him to preach to the Gentiles. And there we have a way opening. Not only will he preach to the Gentiles, but he'll also preach to the kings and the children of Israel. Now mark, if you're marking in your Bible, the children of Israel, because there are those who contend that Paul was not sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but only to the Gentiles. But here he's told, Ananias is told, that Saul is sent to the Gentiles and to the children of Israel. He's sent to both of them. And that's important because we will come along with that after a bit. Now, the next great change takes place when the Apostle Peter is sent by God to the household of Cornelius. In the household of Cornelius, and you'll read of this in the 10th chapter of Acts, you may want to make a mental note of that. And tonight or tomorrow, at your leisure, read this experience, how that Peter goes to the household of Cornelius. We found this to be of special interest when we were in Israel. We landed at Tel Aviv and spent the night in Tel Aviv, a city of 750,000 people that had just grown up there almost overnight. You don't find it on any of the old maps. It's a new city. And it's considered the center of the government of Israel, though Jerusalem is the capital. We spent the night, and then when we left Tel Aviv, our guide took us a little south of Tel Aviv to the old city of Joppa. And as we drove through the narrow streets and saw the old buildings, and some of them looked like they were ones that were standing when Peter was there. And you see the flat top of those buildings, and some of them so low you could almost walk out of the bus onto the top of them where there was a little low place and they had been built. But there's where Peter was on the housetop. He was there in that house and sent to Joppa. Then we turned around, went back through Tel Aviv and on up the coast, and soon we came to Caesarea up on the coast. Nothing but ruins, but one of the great cities of that era, of that day and that time. And Peter came off the housetop and he went up to Caesarea to the household of Cornelius. And this is important also because this is the first time the gospel officially was preached to a Gentile. Now, our Lord ministered to some Gentiles at Gadara. Gadara was one of the cities of the Decapolis. The Decapolis was an area over on the southeast end of the Sea of Galilee. And Decapolis meant 10 cities, and it was an area where there were 10 Roman cities. These cities were all Gentile cities. And Gadara was one of those 10 cities. And that's where the Lord appeared in the cemetery, the one that was healed. That was where the 2,000 swine rushed down into the sea after the demons had gone into them. And here, our Lord had preached to a Gentile. And this woman, of which we spoke a moment ago in the 15th chapter, was a Gentile. But the official proclamation of the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the grace of God, was first preached to a Gentile in the household of Cornelius. Peter didn't want to go because Cornelius was a Gentile. And Peter was strictly kosher. That means he strictly abided by the laws of the children of Israel. And they had laws in those days, and they're passing laws today. And when you remember that I told you once before, since we returned from Israel, that just about a month or 6 weeks before we got there, a group of Orthodox Jews took a Gentile out of his car and stoned him to death for driving through their area on the Sabbath. They're getting strict. And it's going to be severe to those who witness for our Lord, but no more severe than it was here. And Peter didn't want to go to this Gentile, but the Lord told him to go. Told him to go. It was there that we have the lowering of the sheet from heaven with animals of every description, that is, clean and unclean. Animals, fowls, reptiles, fishes, all within this great sheet. And the Lord said to Peter, as he was refusing to consider going to Cornelius because he was a Gentile, the Lord said to Peter, "Now you rise and eat." And Peter said, "No, I have never eaten anything unclean." And the Lord said, "Call not that unclean which I have called clean." Now, when I tell you to eat, you eat. And Peter understood. And he knew then and there that the differences between the clean and unclean had been abolished by God. And until today, there is no distinction in the sight of God in clean and unclean animals, fowls, reptiles, fishes, so forth. We're under the laws given by God to Noah back under the days of grace. When God says that if it moves, you can eat it. And that's the only limitation put upon it. And so Peter went there. Cornelius told Peter, "I was told by the angel of the Lord to send for you, and that you would come and tell me words whereby I would be saved." I love that expression. Saved by words. Saved by words, not by deeds. He'll tell you words. And the only words he could tell him were the words that Paul and Silas told the Philippian jailer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." How? Why? Well, Christ has died for your sins according to the Scripture, was buried, rose again the third day according to the Scripture. And so Peter was preaching. Right in the middle of his sermon, something happened. He hadn't gotten to his third point. He hadn't had time to give the poem that he had matched with the sermon. And he hadn't had time to give an invitation. And all of a sudden, well, read with me from in this 10th chapter from verse 43. Well, 42 says, "And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead, to him, to the Lord Jesus Christ, Now here, this is Peter's preaching. This is his sermon. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Now there's the gospel of the grace of God. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. That's a significant statement. Heard the word. Heard the word. James says, be ye doers of the word and not just hearers only. Well, a hearer of the word is a saved person. A hearer of the word. Now, don't be satisfied, says James, just to be saved, but be a doer of the word. Or in the terms of our message this morning, be an overcomer. Don't be satisfied just to be saved by the skin of your teeth. Be saved with the expectancy of some reward, be it ever so small or apparently insignificant. Now, while Peter yet spake these words, right in the middle of his sermon, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Now, these are all Gentiles. These are all Gentiles. Now, brother, you talk about something happening. You know how excited people get today when a Jew's saved. I've had them call me from hundreds of miles away and tell about a Jew that was saved. How unusual it is. Well, here, brother, this was something when a Gentile was saved. But here's a house full of them that were saved by the words that Peter was preaching. The Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. They of the circumcision, which believed, all those Jews which believed, were astonished. As many as came with Peter. Seemed that Peter took a whole bunch with him. He wasn't about to go up there into that Gentile home by himself. He wanted some witnesses as to what took place and what happened when he got there. And if they called him on the carpet when he got back to Jerusalem or to Joppa, he wanted the reason to give. They were astonished as many as came with Peter because that on the Gentiles, what's that next word in your Bible? Also, that on the Gentiles also, that's the biggest word in the English language as far as Gentiles and salvation is concerned. On the Gentiles also. Do you know the difference between the word also and instead of? Few Bible students know the difference between those two words. Instead of, also. They think the Holy Spirit fell on the Gentiles instead of the Jews. But the Holy Spirit came on the Gentiles also. It was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that they should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And they prayed him to tarry certain days. Now the word to which I call your attention there is the word also. Also. Now, don't turn in your Bible. Just see if you can remember Romans 1 and 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now, back to Acts 13. Look at the first verse, the 11th chapter of Acts, the first verse. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. Note again the word also. Now look in the 18th verse of that same chapter. when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Also, 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 also. Now, to show you the relationship that exists today between a Jew and Gentile, turn to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Now, I have had people try to discourage me from any particular interest in the lost sheep of the house of Israel by telling me that in Christ there's neither Jew nor Gentile. Have you ever heard that? There's no difference. In Christ there's neither Jew nor Gentile. Well, the answer is simple. We're not witnessing to those that are in Christ. We're witnessing to those who are out of Christ. But that's a passage of Scripture that needs study. That passage of Scripture says, there's neither bond nor free, neither male nor female, neither Jew nor Greek or Gentile in the Lord. He's engaged in so-called ERA, Equal Rights Amendment, something of which I know nothing. But the big debate that's been on in some of their big conventions are that there should be no difference whatever between male and female. But they are holding out for two things, despite the fact they say there's no difference. They're holding out for separate lounges for the men and for the women, and they're holding out for the women and girls not to have to go to the battlefront in battle, despite the fact they claim there's no difference whatever. But you and I, with the Bible in our hand, are not disturbed about that, because we know the only rights either male or female have are those that are granted by the Lord Himself. And so we hew the line along that way. Now, the difference between Jew and Gentile, in this 11th chapter of the book of Romans, verse 13, I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. I do the best I can to honor and glorify the Lord in discharging my duties as an apostle of the Gentiles. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Paul writing to the Gentiles, if God Almighty setting aside the Jews temporarily meant salvation for us, what do you think will be the blessings that accrue when Israel is restored to favor with God? If their casting off brought all these blessings, what do you think their restoration will bring? Inconceivable to the mind of man, the blessings that await us Gentiles when the Jew is restored to his place. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. Now here we have, in this particular parable, God likening the olive tree to the nation of Israel, the domesticated olive tree, the nation of Israel, the wild olive tree, the Gentiles. The domesticated, the fruit-bearing olive tree, Israel. The wild olive bears no fruit, the Gentiles. Now keep that in mind. Now, if the root of the domesticated olive tree be holy, if the beginning of the nation of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and on down through his sons, and on down through David, if they be holy, what about the branches, those who have come out later on? if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree. There's that verse, that 17th verse. I find very few people who know that that is in the Bible. They think all of the branches were cut off of the domesticated olive tree, and all of the branches of the wild olive tree grafted in. But we've got two words there that are most important. If some of the branches, the word some, they're not all of them cut off. Not all Jews are set aside. Just some of the branches are cut off. And thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among. Now there again, they want to substitute the word instead. The branches were cut off the olive tree and we were grafted in instead of them. No, we are grafted in among them. Some of the branches are cut off and some of the wild olive are grafted in among them. Now get the picture. Get the picture. Grafted in among them. And with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Here's the olive tree. The branches outspread, the bearing fruit. Some of those branches are cut off of the domesticated olive tree. And grafted in among them are branches from the wild olive tree. Such can be done in horticulture. I had a member of a church which I was pastoring in the West that had many trees. He had some wonderful pecan trees, and then he had all kinds of fruit trees, but he had one tree. He had one tree in his orchard that bore four or five different kinds of fruit. He had grafted in different branches into that tree, and they bore fruit. They bore the fruit. They bore the fruit of the branch. Now, the natural way to graft is to take a wild root or wild trunk, stump, and graft in some good shoots, and then the good shoot bears its natural fruit. But God does the opposite here. He takes the good tree and he grafts in the unfruitful branch. Now watch it. Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Now, God cut off some of the branches of the domesticated olive tree. He cut off some of the branches of Israel. In fact, we may reckon that he cut off nearly all of them, a majority of them anyway. Then he grafted in Gentiles among them. Now, Paul is calling attention here as the Spirit of the Lord speaks through him. Now remember, you and I, remember the Gentiles are grafted in among these natural branches. Now, what has happened? Here's what has happened. The unnatural branch, the wild olive that's been grafted into it, imagines that the sap flows from the wild olive branch down into the domesticated limb, down through the domesticated trunk, and out through the roots. The branches, the Gentile branches that have been grafted in among them, have the idea that they are supporting the children of Israel. And the Lord says, the branch is not supporting the root, but the root is supporting the branch. So, with the wild olive branch grafted in among these native or these natural branches, the sap from the root, the Jewish root, comes up through the Jewish trunk, out through the Jewish limb, to the Gentile branch. And every Gentile branch that bears fruit because of the sap that has come from the Jewish roots through the Jewish trunk, out through the Jewish limb, to the Gentile branch. So that every fruit that is borne by any Christian today who once was a Gentile bears such fruit because of the heritage that is ours in the Old Testament and all that Israel has meant to us. The Messiah, the Bible, God's missionary to the ends of the earth, all of that is Israel. Now, let's go back and look at this now. Verse 18. You Gentile branches, boast not against the natural branches. You wild olives, boast not against the tame or domesticated. But if thou boast, remember this, you're not bearing the root. The sap's not flowing from you down to the root, but the root is bearing you. Now, thou wilt then say, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, they were broken off because of unbelief. Gentiles say the Jews were cast aside in order that we might be saved. The Jew was set aside, the Jewish branch broken off, that we might be grafted in. No, these branches were broken off because of their unbelief. Now,